How would you retrofit that? Part two. We're back, folks. That's right. How would you retrofit that? Greg and Michael are going to throw another 10, 12 fixtures up on the screen, and we're going to discuss it. So that's what's going to happen on this show. But for the meantime, this show is brought to you by Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com. KeystoneTech.com.
What better sponsor for this episode than Keystone? A lot of the items we talked about, and I don't know how many times we brought up their name today in today's podcast, but a lot of their product solves a lot of the retrofit needs that we have in the marketplace. One in particular is the Troffer retrofit kit, Troffer Fixer retrofit kit. It's where you actually can convert an existing fluorescent troffer that has an acrylic or parabolic lens into a direct indirect, nice modern fixture without replacing all the metal housing that you are concerned about.
Ditch the light made easy and go with the retrofit kings, Keystone Technologies. Of course, they're light made easy as well, but we always call them the retrofit kings on this show because they just have so many of those great solutions. Go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KEYSTONETECH.com. And don't forget to check out the Get a Grip on Life show. That's right, Michael Colligan's own personal podcast on the world. So if you love me or you love to hate me, go to GetAGripOnLife.com. And this episode of the show and every episode of the Get a Grip on Life, blah, 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 Get a Grip on Lighting podcast is in association with and sponsored by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Guess who's on the cover of the TLD, Greg?
I don't know. Who is it?
Ooh. It's Michael Colligan and Greg Eric on the cover of the TLD. Buy a copy for your mother, Greg. Put it on the wall. Frame it. We made it. We're on the cover of today's lighting distributor. So go to NAILD.org, pick up a copy of today's lighting distributor, and you can read an article about Michael and Greg. Just like the Rolling Stone, we're on the cover of the TLD. And for right now, how would you retrofit that, folks? Episode number two of that. Welcome back, folks. It's time to lighting dork it up again. What are we doing? We're talking about how would you retrofit that, Greg Eric. Michael Colligan, what would you do? So what do we have in front of us here? We have a 4-foot strip fixture, T8, with bi-pin sockets. What would you do, Craigie?
LED tubes. Two words. You.
LED tubes.
Okay.
How often would you go bypass? How often would you go bypass versus ballast compatible?
I would say 95% of the time I'm bypassing. I'm always given the option to the customer. You know, whether you do type A where you use the ballast, type B where you bypass, or type C where you put an external driver in and do that. Or you can do the combo and use the ballast and cut it down the road. But I prefer to make a decision right away. And on a strip fixture, I'm generally going LED tubes because where strips are industrial, where the look of it doesn't really matter. It's just designed to blast some light out to you. So make it energy efficient. It's brighter a lot of times with LED tubes. It's going to last longer. Everything good that goes with that. How about you?
I got a prediction. Okay. Bye-bye, type C. See you later.
I feel like that's to some – sometimes I feel that way, but then at other times I'm like, well, people want to keep their fixture and they want to dim it. Type C is probably the best option for it. It's low voltage, 0 to 10.
The best option is to pull the damn ballast out and dim it with a dimming. Do they make – I don't even know if they make those. So anyway, I'm a type – type A is ballast compatible?
Yeah.
So I do ballast compatible. The first reason was because that's what the rebate program allowed. Second reason is I don't like my tubes blinking at me, boy. And so so after Arnold Wilkins, episode 9, I think, I said, man, I'm so glad that I never really sold a bypass tube that's blinking on and off at everybody all day long and making them sick, making people have seizures and stuff. So I've been stuck with the ballast compatible up here for a long time. Initially, it was because the rebate program only allowed that, and now we've stuck with it simply because even though the rebate program allows double-ended bypass in Ontario now, so you can do it like neutral and it allows it now. We still are going with the ballast compatible because of the IEEE 21789 situation.
How often are you selling new ballast when you do that?
I'd say it's probably 50-50. Like, it's hard to talk. So like when you're sitting in front of a guy and you're like, well, we're just going to go with the cheap option, but at the same time, we're going to change all your ballasts.
Now it's the expensive option.
Yeah, it's like either you're going bypass and you're going to buy an expensive IEEE 1789 flicker-free LED bypass tube, or you're going to go with the ballast compatible and just do it cheap and cheerful and change them as they go. One of the things I would say is up here we have a lot of 347 volts, so it's probably an industrial is like 50-50. Actually, probably more like 70%. The heavier the industrial and the bigger, the more likely it's 347. We've actually done a lot of panel conversions, then changed it to 277 or 240 or something like that, and then done bypass IEEE 1789 standard non-blinking LED tubes for some situations in that case. Like with when you have 8-lamp T5 high bays and stuff like that. Yeah. So there you go.
All right. Sounds good. The next one, track lighting. Again, there's a variety of options that it can be, but in general, when you see track, what are you going to do?
Well, that looks like a GU10 PAR 16 or MR16 bulb in there. I'm going to change that to an LED GU10 or an LED MR16. What about you?
So, in general, it's the first thought is an LED bulb. Keep the track, keep the head, find a way to get an LED into that.
Sure.
And yep. Typically with track, you can almost always find an LED solution for.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into one where you couldn't?
Only when the purpose-built LED light track fixture that was supposed to last forever burned out.
Oh, that's too bad. Now you screw in an incandescent socket and
remember one of the first things to come out was track lighting that was LEDs, like purpose-built, COB, yeah. Cobb, right? So it's like, oh, that's out. What do I do with it? You throw it in the garbage, buddy. That's what you do with it. Or you recycle it at Waste Diversion. Go to waste-diversion.com, buddy, or .ca. I don't even know what that. Yeah, so I'm generally going to default to the bulb unless the customer wants to refresh and the look and go with a new light fixture, new track fixture, yeah.
I'm with you. Easy one.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Next one.
That is a 2x2 troffer, Greg. Probably it looks like a 2-lamp 2-foot. What are you doing, son?
Oh, man. Troffers. Oof. That's probably the most common fixture we see in our business, at least selling commercial lighting. That's the one you see everywhere. So what do you do with it? You give them options. What do I do a majority of the time? My first thought is an LED tube similar to a strip. That's my first thought. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, like the majority of the customers don't own their buildings and they're on 5-year leases or whatever, and they pay the hydro bill and they want it cheap and they want to get it done, man. Just throw it in. I love LED tubes. Smash in a quick LED tube. It's been T12. We're going to go, something different, but if T8, which is most of it now, we smash in a quick LED tube, 2-foot, 4-foot, whatever. And, we just had the ABCDEFG argument about it, whether you go bypass or ballast compatible, so we don't need to review that. So after that, I'm going to do some sort of indirect basket for them. If they want a new look, the cost of those indirect baskets, LED, has come down. I don't know if that's what you call them up down there in Minnesota. But yeah, I mean, that's the next thing for me. I don't do flat panels. Don't like flat panels. So I'm going to do like some sort of indirect basket. I like that Keystone retrofit kit, though, the fixture retrofit kit. I think we've advertised it on a couple of the shows.
Yeah.
Have you done that? I've never done that.
But a lot of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot. So the first thought was LED tubes, and it generally was that up until, again, about 6 months ago, kind of following that recessed can one that I talked about, where now the inserts that you can get, the retrofit kits, are still higher priced than tubes, but to get the updated look is something that I'm finding more and more people are interested in. Mm. A lot of these fixtures are yellowed or cracked or the lenses are bad. Or I've been into places where they have that, a prismatic, then they have a parabolic, then they have a direct indirect. And they have all different types of light fixtures. So make it all even, make it all the same. And I think after LED tubes, it's a retrofit kit. And then if the fixtures are in the wrong location or they have too many or something you can't retrofit, then you go a new fixture. And then in that case, again, a direct indirect is still the one I would go to. I know flat panels are popular because they're cheap, but I don't generally think they're.
Bye-bye, flat panel. Solution. See you later. See you later. Don't like you. You're ugly.
But we have a new flat panel. Didn't you see it? It's edgelet. Who cares?
Get this flat panel out of here. Nobody cares about flat panels anymore, buddy. So, but here's the thing. I would say there's a lot of reasons. We've had this debate on the show before about retrofit versus new fixtures. When we started the show, it's like, when are we just going to rip out all the new fixtures? Son, it's not environmentally responsible. You don't want to rip out a whole bunch of metal out of the ceiling and put a whole bunch of new metal in. If you're actually green, if you consider yourself environmentally friendly, which Greg doesn't, he doesn't really care, he just sells light bulbs all day. But if you actually consider yourself environmentally friendly, retrofitting is as green activity or as environmentally friendly an activity as you can possibly do, buddy. So that makes Greg and I environmental heroes. We are heroes. We should get an award from the Environmental Protection Agency and the Ministry of the Environment for being saving so many carbon emissions and also keeping waste out of landfill and keeping metal out of landfill. So retrofit all day long. It is the most environmentally friendly thing you can do. Carry on. Let's go to the next thing now. There's a little speech.
There you go. The next one. Under cabinet lighting, task lighting. Sometimes you see it in a commercial environment, again, in cubicles under their desk. What do you do when you see that?
Is it fluorescent?
What do you think?
Yeah, you gotta rip that out and put in a new one because there's just so many weird tubes, like so many weird fluorescent tubes. F6, mm-hmm. T5, CW, F20, T4. There's T2s out there. You see those T2s? So the fluorescent, yeah. T2s? I mean, there's all kinds of weird fluorescent bulbs out there. Get that. You got to get that thing out of there. Buy one with a slightly bigger footprint and smash it in.
My solution is first to find out if they even use the thing. If they use it, then replace it. Because a lot of times you see them and they don't work or they're not operating or they don't even need it. So then why replace it? So I've done a ton of lighting retrofits where we haven't touched those in cubicle areas or desks, just left them because they don't use them.
That's a whole show. Unnecessary lighting. Ooh, that's a good show. What's unnecessary? Write that down, buddy. Okay, yep. Next.
You to me.
I'm waiting for the producer. Ooh, that's a vape, fluorescent vapor tight right there, Bo. Go on, tell me what you do.
Vapor tight is similar to strip, similar to trough. For my first thought, is an LED tube.
Me, you know what? I got to look at the condition of the lens. And that's gonna be deciding factor. Or like even the clips, you know, sometimes they're missing clips, or the clips, mm-hmm. are broken, or the seal is broken, or something like that. The reason you have a vapor tight is probably because you need a vapor tight. You don't usually have a vapor tight unless you need it. So like there's the wash down, and there's a lot of steam or whatever is in a car wash. So I look at the condition of the lens, and if the lens is in good condition, smash in some LED tubes. We've had the A, B, C, D, E, F, G argument with it, but I'm going to put LED tubes. If that lens is broken, we're going to pull it out.
If the seal is gone, you put a new one in.
That's right. And it's going to be exactly the same thing. It's going to be just, would you go purpose built or would you put in a new bypass with LED tubes? That's a good question.
At this point, purpose built. There are some new fixtures that you can buy that just do bypass tubes, but I think the light output out of a purpose built vapor type looks nicer.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's beautiful. It depends on the application. So I had a customer that just bought like 300 for a parking garage. And we were, the deal was already done. And we were sitting around and we're just chatting. He's like, well, what am I going to have to do to maintain these? And I'm like, ooh, that's a good question. And I said, well, they last forever, man. we just laughed because, you know, I've known him for years. We just laughed. And I'm like, you know what? You could do this. And that you know, you could buy a vapor tight and just slam in some LED tubes in it, and then you could, if they burn out, you just change the LED tubes. He goes, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I said, it's not going to be as nice. I mean, those Kurtzon fixtures with the their vapor tight line with the, or their wraps with, so beautiful, dude. Like the light out of the purpose built LED wrap or LED vapor tight is so nice. But he's like, this is a parking garage, buddy. I don't give a crap. Does it meet the foot candle requirements of the town? Yes. Then do the one that's going to give me the best maintenance. I said, okay, man. I said, he goes, this is a 40-year. I'm having this building for 40 years. My kids are going to be managing it when I'm dead. I'm okay, man. We're going to put some LED tube fixtures in there. And that's what we did. So I would say that, it's tough to beat those purpose-built LED fixtures and wraps and all that. But when you look at the maintenance, get that Jaga going, and then we won't have this problem, Greg.
There you go. Let's do it.
All right. Next
one is a wall sconce. Now, they come in a variety of shapes and sizes and looks and colors and options in it. But in general, when you see a wall sconce and they say make it energy efficient, what are you doing?
Oh, man. That's a very complicated one. I think this is maybe the most diverse wall sconces, maybe the most diverse outcome. So for, you know, the easiest thing, most of them are like those pin CFLs. Maybe you got one going this way, one going the other way, right? So you smash in some quick, you know, LED CFLs, LED CFL replacements, whatever. That would be my most likely one. Or screwing in an LED bulb. That's a second one, right? But a lot of times there's bugs sitting in those things. Like there's a lot of dead bugs in them and stuff like that. So so a lot of times we'll be changing the whole fixture out with a bigger footprint fixture so you don't have to paint. And then
that's a key. Bigger footprint. You got to remember that. And a lot of people don't. I can't tell you how many times I see it where somebody replaced it and there's a big patch of
Yeah, it's a wall. It's called the wall scar. That's what you call it. It's called the letting dorks. Put that in the next manual, IES, wall scar. It's called a wall scar. And you know, you see it outside all the time. You're driving by somebody's warehouse or whatever. It's like all these wall scars, evenly spaced with a light fixture on it. You don't get that with me, son. But yeah, that's what I would do. And it's kind of like 1, 2, 3, 4. And the fourth one would be like some sort of retrofit kit. I know Keystone's got a great variety of those where you can insert that. And that would, especially if they want to increase the light output, you know, if they're like, yeah, can we double or triple the light output of this thing? I do one of those Keystone retrofit kits. A lot of free advertising on this podcast, eh? Holy mackerel.
Sounds like it. But yeah, if it's a screw-in incandescent socket, I'm going to screw in an LED all day long. If it's plug-in, I've actually gone more to those plate-type retrofits, and I have the LED bulbs just because, again, similar to recessed cans where you have sockets that are brittle or it doesn't always fit or it doesn't give you the right light, a lot of times those plates can give you a nice, even illumination out of the wall sconce, which is typically what you want. But most often when I've run into it, people want to replace the sconce anyways, so then you got to find a bigger profile wall sconce. And I hate that one because that's like 12 inches wide. And there's not a lot that's 12 inches wide, you know, there are, but not as, if they want a certain look, decorative modern look, it's hard to get in a 12 inch wide fixture, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not even going to comment on decorative. I know how to dress.
Stay out of it.
But I don't know how to design. Next.
There you go.
Wall pack, buddy.
Oh, man.
Nobody has those. That's the grossest thing in the world. It's so popular, and I sold so many of them in LED and in HID before LED, but they're so gross. I hate wall packs.
You're talking just any wall pack in general, or
no, the traditional wall pack shape. Yeah. So what would you do?
Yeah, no, replace. Definitely replace the fixture. There are retrofit options, but I'm going to replace it. What are you going to do?
You know, I don't like the way so many customers want to project light off their building. And I lost one deal and I had another one that I had to go back to the wall pack because I want the light to push out and in everybody's eyes. And I'm telling them, it's just glare, dude. Become dark sky compliant. At least put a shade on that thing so the light always goes. What about the birds, Greggy? Those birdies? They're getting distracted by all these LED lights, man. You know, and so you got to go dark sky compliant, folks, especially in northern climates where it's dark at night. And so I hate wall packs. I wish they would legislate those out of existence. They should write a law. No more dumb wall packs from 1982. Like, seriously.
But you know what is something from a real world example here is I'm more in that line too, where you cut it off or do at least a partial cutoff. But I had a customer that we installed cutoff wall packs. And they had the old traditional glare bomb style, and it really affected their security cameras. They weren't able to see because they needed that light projected up to help their camera see out. So we had to go back to a glare bomb style LED wall pack.
Well, here's your customer's name is Richard. Is that was his name? Listen, Richard. Okay. Richard, they make cameras now that see at night too. So no more excuses.
Replace your camera.
Yeah, dude. Because you know what? No, listen. These issues are real. Dark sky issues are real issues. It's not a joke. Okay, this is not, oh, stupid, environmental left-wing pinkos, they care about the birds and the turtles. Yeah, I do, actually. I do. And I'm not a left-wing pinko. Ask anyone that knows me. I do care. I don't think we should be stupid. Change your cameras, Richard. Next.
Deal. And a wrap fixture. Similar to a lot of the other ones, but what are you doing when you see a wrap?
A, B, C, D, A, B, C. That's all it is, bro. Pop an LED tube in that bad boy. Well, those wrap lenses are really expensive, eh?
They are. And if you see an environment, a lot of times they're in stairways and things. Or, yeah. Not exactly that style, but lenses are cracked, they're broken, and they say, yeah, let's do LED tubes and replace the lens. Oh, really? How about just buy the fixture? That's when you buy the fixture. But
yeah, some of those wrap lenses are like $40.
Yeah, buy a fixture.
Yeah.
Get a purpose-built wrap. There's so many of them out there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Yeah, and the other thing too is like there's a lot of laws around having to have the cover on the fixture. Like in residential, multi-residential high-rise in Ontario, they have to have a cover over the bulb. So it's like, it's so cheap now. I mean, it's so cheap to buy a new fixture. I agree with you 100%. So, okay. Folks, that was another episode of the how would you retrofit that, or what would you do with that?
Sounds like a game show, not an episode.
There you go. I thought it was fun. You know, it's interesting that we've never done that before. We're looking at it, and it's like somehow, we both decided that this is the best thing almost 99% of the time. Greg, Eric, and Michael Call are going to do the same thing, and we didn't plan that, folks. We learned that over the years, and that's what happens when you know what you're doing. You converge. Thanks for listening. Keystone Technologies. Go to KeystoneTech.com, baby. KeystoneTech.com, Greg.
Well, what the product we're focusing on today is their Troffer Fixture Retrofit Kit. We brought it up actually in the podcast because it's an excellent solution. It's finally at a price point where it's starting to make sense versus LED tubes. That's a lot of times what we were doing in Troffers. Now we can modernize the fixture without actually having to replace the whole fixture. You can take the lens out, gut the fixture, and put a new direct-indirect center basket lens retrofit kit. Modernize it, make it the LED, and all that's good with that.
That's why they call them the Retrofit Kings, Greg. Go to K-E-Y-S.
They being you.
KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. And guys, trust me, legitimate, Greg and I buy from Keystone. We're not kidding. It's not just because they advertise with the podcast. Long before they were advertising with the podcast, Greg and I were Keystone customers, so it's legit. Also, I started my own show, getagriponlife.com. Check it out, man. If you like my style, you love to hate me. I love the haters. Give me those bad reviews. I love good, and there's nothing like a good bad review. I love it. So give me a bad review. It's my favorite. My bad reviews are my favorite. And also, we're in association with and on the cover of the TLD. The next upcoming TLD, Michael and Greg are on the cover. Does it beat Rolling Stone, Greg? Is it better than Rolling Stone for you?
It feels that way, yeah.
It's everything you ever dreamed of. It's everything you ever dreamed of and wanted. On the cover of the Today's Lighting Distributor, Michael Colligan and Greg Garrick, we are in association with the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That's NALD.org. Baby, nail.org, and go to getagriponlife.com. Not get a grip on lighting, get a grip on life to hear all my opinions on a bunch of subjects. Well, actually, mostly my guests' opinions. I just listen, if you can believe it. Thanks for listening to this, folks. Bye for now.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, Lord is there to find you.